Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead talk through on Golden Spiral Media.
That was awesome.
Fear the Walking Dead talk through, episode 60, Channel 4 review. Survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And you may have noticed that our music is a little bit differently orchestrated. That's because we have moved to our new location at talkthroughmedia.com.
Goal.
So anyway, yeah. So we have moved over. So if you're hearing this episode and you didn't hear a little message at the start of it, that's a good sign actually, because that means that our the switchover that we made to switch to our new feed has worked, and you need to do nothing. So this is good. But if you did hear a message, that means that you picked up the episode at our old location, and you are going to have to follow the links that we have posted on that post to make sure that you find us going forward. But you should be able to go to walkingdeadtalkthrough.com to find us. And we just want to, before we get really started with the episode, we just wanted to say a little bit more about why we made this decision to make this bold move and to start up a network of our own. And I don't want to get into a lot of details about it, and, you know, there's no point, but, you know, we were thankful for, you know, being a part of the GSM network for 5 years, but it was clear to us that we were going to have to, if we wanted to keep doing the podcast that the way that we want to do it, we were going to have to make a change. And it was a change that we weren't comfortable making. So there was some creative differences between us and the network going forward. And I don't want to get into a lot of details, but I will highlight one important thing, is that we wouldn't have been allowed going forward to have a show with three hosts. So one of the hosts was going to have to go. And that was one of many things. But this was something that I wanted to do for some time. And it was a lot of work to get us moved over, but it's done. The site at talkthroughmedia.com, it's not 100% there. There are some bugs that we need to work through, but it's mostly there. Everything is just minor things that we need to fix at this point. But we have made the change. We, again, want to thank Daryl and GSM for hosting us for 5 years, but we're happy to be moved over.
Yep.
And we should say that we also will be launching a Patreon in the next couple of weeks, probably, I'd say, in the next 2 weeks. We should have that up and running. We will give you that information going forward. So, all right. So we are going to discuss season 5, episode 9 of Fear the Walking Dead, which is simply titled Channel 4. So before we get started with that, though, we've got some additional feedback for Season 5, Episode 8, titled, Is Anybody Out There? And it's from our friend Aaron. So we should say, before we get started with that, this is how I would say an abridged version. So it was, we had to cut it, some of it, for time. So hopefully Aaron's okay with that, but we've kept a big chunk of it, but
yeah, we didn't
destroy it.
There she sent us in two pieces of feedback, and some of it we had to cut just for time. So she starts off, she says, I'm fine with new people. I just hate the Morgan takeover. Daniel is definitely an OG, but because of Ruben's outside schedule, I place him as the number one recurrer more than not. I saw Michonne is leaving The Walking Dead, so they could use the merger for help too, now it seems. Then she says, whoa, Brian, Morgan will never fill in for Madison. He is not ambiguous enough in his actions. He is not conflict creating enough when the plot needs it. He does not lead to others having moments to shine or reveal backstory. He's not tactical enough to create good, believably action moments. Okay, he's more supportive, arguably, than Madison, but he is nowhere near the level of Madison when it comes to the series. Gimple wishes he was as good as Madison, but he's not. Wait a second. So, wow. Gimple is the showrunner. Gimple's not, he can't be a character, but I get what you mean there. I didn't mean that Morgan was the replacement for Madison. I just meant that he was kind of like in that starring role. But yeah, he's definitely a different character there. So I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't mean he was a fill in. I maybe said it that way, but I just meant that he's in that lead role. So at least I think that's what I meant. All right.
Well, she continues on saying, I don't fault Lenny James. If you're offered the lead of a series, of course you'll probably take it. I fault whoever made the stupid decision to kill Madison, and it seems they killed her just to bring him on because this wasn't like Frank who wanted to leave. They just took the job from Kim, basically. I fault Morgan because he's the face of the takeover, and again, brings nothing interesting to the series, in my opinion. As a side character, maybe he would work because he has some Nick-like qualities, but as the lead, he just does not work for me at all. Also, again, I don't like the fact a Walking Dead character is leading Fear, yet no Fear person has been on The Walking Dead. That's why I say this was a takeover, not a crossover. As you said, I just do not like Morgan at all. Lenny is just another actor, though, so no shade at him unless he did have a hand in saying it's the lead or nothing. So he kind of had a hand in all of this, but you can't say for sure he did so. I give him the benefit of the doubt, and he thought it was co-lead, maybe, and Gimple and company went full-on stupid to get rid of Kim for some reason. Lenny has been playing Morgan this way for years. I would assume so it's his deal, but again, the thing is the character just doesn't work for me. Certainly in the leader spot, and honestly, even on the series as just a character. I don't think he would be someone I like because Morgan is bland to me. Kind of like I never got the appeal of Nick. That said, I do give Nick a bit more than I did because of the whole drug survivor thing and how he used that survive all of this as long as he did, but still he's meh to me. I stand by my stance of Morgan and all he represents with the takeover – is one of the worst things ever to happen to this series, as it has not been the same since he joined in.
There is a pattern there. I would say, before we continue, that Morgan on The Walking Dead went through trials and tribulations, and for the most part, he was a pretty messed up dude. And, you know, he got his stuff together a couple of times, but there were also some periods where he had some mental breakdowns. And the reason why I had suggested you go back and watch those, I think, three episodes I mentioned, was because you'd get a better sense of what Morgan had to deal with. You know, there's been hints at it, especially in this current episode, that Morgan lost his wife and son in a gruesome, horrible way, especially his son, and it messed him up. It messed him up bad. And, you know, those of you that are Walking Dead fans, you guys know this, but those of you that haven't watched it, this is why I was suggesting it, because it really gives you to see him now versus where he was in those episodes. And there's actually another one that's really good that I didn't include in that list, which is Bury Me Here. But it, like, in the pilot, you see where he starts, and then in Clear, you see he's had this clear break, or this, no pun intended there, this breakdown. And then in Here's Not Here, you see the kind of like part right after that. And anyway, so my thought is that it might help you appreciate his character, but maybe there's no way that's going to happen at this point. So I won't suggest that anymore, but it is worth saying, and just a sneak peek, that she actually really liked this episode a lot. So, and you know, Morgan had a big part in this one. So, you know, just keep that in mind when you're hearing this. Let's continue. Kyle.
All right. All right, she continues on. Even I can admit Grace makes Morgan somewhat watchable, so awesome job there, Grace. Still outside of that, he wouldn't be someone I care about or feel. I definitely sweated Wendell surviving Mark. I kind of surprised everyone survived so far, given all they've been doing, but they could be gearing up to Red Wedding this season, for all we know, so we'll see. Sadly, no one said everyone had to be in season 6 or in it for the long, so I was also kind of sweating John getting sucked out of the back of the plane when he stood up. I didn't think they'd do it because he's popular, but they've killed popular people before. Unsurprisingly, I'm going to hard disagree with you, Steve, on Morgan offering to train Alicia, because again, butterfly knife. Also, if Nick couldn't get her to Zen, I don't, but Morgan can.
All right. And then we're skipping a little bit of it and moving on to where I'll just kind of summarize. She kind of, she asked like where she could see The Walking Dead, and I think most people would know, but if you have Netflix, the first 8 seasons are available on Netflix. Season 9 will be available on Netflix probably in the next couple of months, but season 9 is actually available now on AMC.com. They announced it on Sunday night that the entire season is available on AMC.com. You don't need to have AMC Premiere. I don't even think you need a login. You can just watch it straight out. So, and she was just like wondering where she could watch those select episodes that I was just talking about before. She continues. She says, "I took the tree message as from a stranger." And I have, there's more to say about that as we go forward, because I know that the tree stuff came up in comments. I think I had something to say about that too. A lot of plot for the sake of plot writing this season. Thankfully, it isn't as bad as season 4B, but there is a lot of drop topics. Again, good ideas, arguably bad execution follow through. Also, how did Daniel know where they would be? Is that the only landing strip around? How did he know they'd be there that day? I like Daniel there. Don't get me wrong, but it's so many what's to the end of this episode. Yeah, it's, I don't know if we mentioned that, but I had wondered that too. Like, you know, how did Daniel know they were there exactly?
Yeah.
And I assumed that he knew where they were just based on the, like they maybe communicated by walkie or something, but that's not really clear either.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, she continues on saying, speaking of Dwight, this just adds to my Morgan issues, because how is it I know nothing on him? Also, but don't find him annoying yet, Morgan, I do. It's because they use Dwight like a typical new character coming in with one person and working into the group and not having his way be the gospel, as it were. The mishandling of Morgan has just hurt him so much, so again, I doubt I will ever like him. At least not this fear version. Maybe Morgan was more interesting on The Walking Dead, but here he just is a dud to me. I take it back some, maybe if they had Morgan come in like Dwight and just been a new character to us with Alicia as the lead, I wouldn't hate Morgan as much. I still can't say he'd be my favorite, but I could take him better, but instead they killed Madison and gave Morgan her spot. And they have everyone look at him like he knows it all, instead of the group mingling or disagreeing, and just makes everything stale, predictable, and not as enjoyable to watch compared to the seasons without Morgan.
There's some good thoughts there. Like she's comparing Dwight's entrance versus Morgan. And I think Dwight is a character that we knew less of. Like we knew his basic backstory, but, and we knew, you know, him being with Sherry, but we don't know, like we never spent a lot of time with them together. And, you know, we also know that he came in as a tortured character, but the way it was presented on this show, you didn't really need to know all the detail. Whereas I think with Morgan, they assumed that everyone that would know him would be familiar with him from The Walking Dead. And I don't know, I mean, Aaron's a good example. I don't know how many additional people we could use as examples, but I think it probably is worth saying that not everyone that watches Fear the Walking Dead also watches The Walking Dead. I think a lot of, especially in the first, you know, season or two, a lot of people that were watching it were interested in the different dynamic, the fact that it was less comic booky, the fact that it dealt with the beginnings of the apocalypse, whereas The Walking Dead, it, you know, is very much post-apocalyptic. So, you know, and the characters being different, you know, like strong female characters in the lead. I think all of that kind of plays in, but
yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking reading her comment too. It's just like, but what if they did do Morgan's entrance a little bit like Dwight's, and like, how would that have you know, how would that have changed the show in a way? Because, you know, when the season four started, it was all showing Morgan at the very beginning and him talking to Rick and him talking to, you know, whoever, or, you know, Carol and all that. And then right. he takes off and then you see him get in the car or a car and the car died. You know, so we saw his progression there. Almost could have been like, well, we were already Fear, you know, we'd be watching our characters. And then what if, like, how, June, you know, gets, you know, or Jenna Elfman, her character, when she got introduced, you know, it's like, what if Morgan was kind of along the same lines?
Yeah.
Where he just like ran to Nick somewhere and Nick's like, oh, who are you? And you
look
know.
At John Dory, right? You guys thought mm-hmm. that he was like a serial yeah. killer or something at the start. And his introduction, I think, you know, June's introduction and Al's introduction, I think, were quite a bit different than Morgan's introduction, because Morgan's introduction wasn't an introduction. It's like, oh, you know him already.
Yeah.
Right? That's how he was presented. So I think it's not a shock that you could identify with those characters more than Morgan if you didn't know Morgan on The Walking Dead. So, mm-hmm. yeah. you know.
All right, she continues, as you've all said, it doesn't help Talking Dead that it's on after another show instead of being paired with Fear like it always has. If you're a live viewer, you're not going to want to always sit up that late to see it, and if you DVR it, it has been off for so long, you may have deleted that spot for another timer. I doubt they'll get back to pairing it in 5B, but it really does better as a set instead of having to wait it out. I couldn't agree more. I don't watch it. Like, I'll watch it, you know, after the next day, but like, yeah, by that point, it's kind of late and I'm, you know, in bed by the time it comes on.
Yeah. I think that the Talking Dead, you know, and we got another version of Talking Dead this week. Actually, we got two.
Yeah.
But then again, there won't be another one until the finale now. So
yeah, it's really irritating that they don't put it right yeah. after the initial show. And then,
yeah.
And then, you know, that was the default. And that's why other shows had failed. Look at Comic Book Men. By the time they kept delaying it, it was until like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning for them. And that's the reason why they took it off the air.
Yeah. And now they're putting Preacher in the famed Into the Badlands slot.
Well, it's in its last season. So.
Right. And Preacher has actually done that before. It has been in that slot before. But Preacher is a show that I know some of us love.
Yeah.
Kyle, do you watch the show?
Preacher? I have not been watching Preacher. No, I saw the first season a while back ago after it already aired, but it's kind of one of those I will get to it. Yeah. there's just so many shows on that it's like I can only yeah. watch so much. I know
the first three seasons are on Hulu, and I have not caught up to season four yet. There's been three episodes already, and I haven't been able to watch any of them yet. I do intend to and get caught up. Hopefully get caught up on it in the next, you know, week or two. But, I love the show. It's crazy. And it's crazy good. But, still, I would rather it be on Monday nights, but they already have, you know, they have right now, I think they have the second season of The Terror, which actually looks pretty good. It's like takes place in the Japanese internment camp,
yep,
or something. And what's that other
Ridley
that
other Scott show is actually involved with that too,
right? Yeah, and there's also what is it, the Ladder 49 or something, or something like that, or Lodge 49, is that what it's called?
Yes.
They're having commercials and they call it the Walking Dud.
I think it's campy in a sense to get people over, so they're trying to equate it to the other shows in some ways.
Have not seen that at all. Not seen that show.
Yeah, either. Neither. So.
All right. Well, we got another long piece of feedback from Aaron, even longer than the first piece, and we're going to table it. There's some general stuff about the show in there. And we didn't want to turn it into the Aaron show, but it's more like general stuff. So if we do a post, you know, season 5 kind of, like review episode or something like that, we'll cover it then. We're not promising that right now, but if we do, we'll cover at least some of that feedback then. But we're going to just move on to, and of course say thank you to you, definitely, Aaron, for your prolific feedback. And she also sent in some feedback about this week as well. So you'll be hearing from her in a minute here. But season 5, episode 9 of Fear the Walking Dead is titled Channel 4. It is written by David Johnson. Now, I have to ask, is this why David Leslie Johnson changed his name to David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick? I'm assuming it's no relation, but I was curious about that. I think he's staff writer or a story editor or something. He's in one of the last, you know, you see his name on the credits in the end, but I don't remember exactly his position. Directed by Dan Liu, he has directed episodes of Fear the Walking Dead before. He directed season 4, episode 3, Good Out Here. And you may, of course, remember that one because that is the episode that Nick died. And he's also directed episodes of The Walking Dead. I know that he directed in season 8, episode 4, which was Some Guy. And he also directed season 9, episode 3, Warning Signs. So, but he's probably a good person to pick in this case because he is an editor by trade. So it seems to me that this particular episode, you would want an editor in the position as director, because I imagine that there was a crap ton of editing that had to be done for this particular episode. So you would want to have, especially given, you know, the video shooting and all that stuff, you would want to have someone who's skilled in editing to direct, even though he might not have been editing the episode himself, but he would know what an editor would need. So I think he's probably a good choice. The description is as follows. The group traveling in a convoy doubles down on their mission to help survivors. In an effort to encourage more survivors to reach out, Al, Luciana, and Charlie document Morgan and the gang on a dangerous mission to help a reclusive survivor. All right, Mark, what did you think of Channel 4?
Well, I gave it 7.5 out of 10 bad trucker songs.
And I gave it an 8 out of 10 dick squads.
Well, I got to say, I like this one more than a lot of the people that had feedback, with one exception, which we'll get to in a second. But Aaron, you and I agree. I also give this one a 9.5 and I'm going to call it a 9.5 warped tapes with some tracking issues. I did like the various VCR kind of things, both in the title card and just all the way through. I got a kick out of that. So, all right. So let's, and although it wasn't exactly 100% like realistic, because they still shot in the 16:9 format and it didn't look like it was like 200 lines of resolution, but other than that, it still did have that kind of like video quality to it. And, I don't know. Maybe because I didn't watch The Office or some other shows that do that kind of thing. I really loved it. It really worked for me. So, all right. So now you can get into our listener ratings. And Mark, you can share what Aaron says.
Well, Aaron says, I would give this episode 9.5 and hear arguments on it as the best of the season potentially. It's easily one of the best episodes in the last 2 years. It was so good and such like old Fear that I'd say it could hang with some of the Madison era episodes. I won't go so far as to say it's the quote unquote best of list for that set. I will hear arguments, but it's certainly in the pretty good tier, which is below it. It was definitely a pleasant watch this week overall.
Yeah, I would say that it would probably be in like the top 10% or maybe, you know, 15% of the show. I wouldn't say that it was like the best episode or anything like that. There definitely been several episodes that have been better. Certainly best episode, I think, since the start of 4B. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the best episode of season 5 to date. Although I'd have to go back and look at my
ratings
to see if that's actually the case. But I'm pretty sure I don't think I gave anything that high a rating at the start. If I did, it would have been maybe the episode where we meet Dwight, which I know you didn't like, Kyle. All right. Speaking of Kyle.
All right. Well, the next is LT from NC. He gives it this one 6 3/4 out of 10 limping Logans. I thought about saying Festus walking Logans, but the younger folks probably never saw Gunsmoke on TV.
We had to correct Kyle, by the way, LT. He did not call it Festus walking. Anyway. Dieta, she also didn't like this episode. She gave it 6 out of 10 Blair Witch camera angles. Yeah, and by the way, I hated Blair Witch with a passion.
Glennis says 7 out of 10 Be mindful of your steps.
And that's it for our listener rating. So let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
Well, LT from NC says, the field expedient Thai food. Knowing how to improvise in the kitchen is an important life skill. And I can say for a fact that knowing how to use what you have to make something tasty has saved me out of hiking many times. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Aaron from the internet, she gives her Awesome Sauce 100% the most awesome of sauce this week had to be the amount of shared and diverse screen time shots. As we know, I've been on this since the show changed, and for at least one episode, it seemed the writers, or at least directors, listened, because we got way less Morgan-centric stuff. I still miss Madison deeply, but this is the first episode in forever since her where it kind of felt like the old show again. In fact, I'd argue this is the closest to the old we've gotten since her departure. More of this type of character interaction and characters mixing up a group outings, please. Also super awesome, the camera filter shots, because you could actually see everything. Can we just film the rest of the series in that filter, please? I actually got bummed out when they did real-time shots because the washed-out blue was a letdown in comparison.
Steve from Oklahoma is next, and he just simply says, Convoy. He says, our anthem. Yeah, yeah, the
Trucker's Convoy.
Good old anthem of Sarah and Wendell.
And Glennis from Toronto says, that minefield and trying to extract Morgan and John taking sharp shooting pot shots. I enjoyed the color being back into this episode, since most of this was filmed by the particular cam ops perspective for their public announcement video.
And Dieta from Detroit, her awesome sauce is the exploding mine walkers. And she also says, happy funny sauce Sarah and her truck driving songs. Too funny, and two emojis with tears.
Yeah, I didn't know where to put that, Dieta. So it sounded most appropriate in the awesome sauce versus like the aw sauce. So so maybe it's like a, I don't know, like a
in between or a new
an in between kind of sauce. Deanna from Illinois is our last person to give awesome sauce. She says, I really like the convention of the whole episode being that VHS tape. Yeah, and I was kind of surprised at the end, like how it ended, which actually made perfect sense that we would actually be kind of watching the episode from Wes's eyes, I guess. But it was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So, and I already kind of stated that I really liked how they did this episode. So, all right. So what about for our own awesome sauce, Mark? What do you have?
Well, I love the whole documentary aspect of the episode. I thought it was really, really cool. Gave that edge like movies that I watched that were like The Last Broadcast, the movie that you hate, The Blair Witch Project, and a movie that I love and I hold a dear heart, Cloverfield. The interviewing was a good way to document and show where they are and what they want to do as a story to present to people that they want to help or have go on a journey of their own, you know. Plus, you know, I just love the family aspect of the group now. Daniel is fitting in with everyone. Dwight is opening up and more and being a part of the group, showing his whittling skills, his interaction with Daniel. They seem to be getting a little bit chummy and interesting together, which I like.
Yeah, that's my awesome sauce was Dwight for sure, because it's just like, it's like a, how he can contribute to the group and calling him the good guys this time around, like, or just about like how he, you know, he said it on his part of the tape, you know, where he was just talking about how like, oh yeah, these people are really good. And, you know, it's like, we know from his background, if you watch The Walking Dead, that, you know, he went through a heck of a lot when he was working basically for Negan, to now seeing him actually wanting to help other people, or you know being a part of this group, and you can almost like see him in such a better like situation and mindset than he used to be. So I liked Dwight.
Well, a couple things that I wanted to bring up, and we already talked a little bit about the perspective of the videotaping and that, but one of the things that you may have not picked up on, but it was definitely there, is you could definitely tell that there were different people recording the video, because depending on whoever was recording, there was like a different color balance with the video. Like some of them, you know, it was like pretty bright, others it was dark, others it had kind of a like a green tinge to it. Another might have had like a blue tinge. So it was kind of interesting to see the various color balances that each of the videos had. I thought that was cool. I enjoyed the callbacks. So there were a couple of callbacks, and I'm just going to highlight two of them because I think there are more if I went back and kind of looked at them again. But they mentioned going to the Big Stop, and that I picked up on right away because that was from 30 Days Without an Accident from The Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 1. That's the episode where the walkers start falling through the roof. And is pretty big episode. I think at the time it was like the biggest rated episode of the show, eventually unseated by No Sanctuary. But anyway, that was a big particular episode. Dwight, also, we see whittling the chess pieces because that's something that we had seen him do on The Walking Dead. You know, he made little pieces. It was, I think, Daryl picked up like a little piece from him in that very first episode that he gets picked up on, Always Accountable, Season 6, Episode 6. And I think we also see him doing it at the Sanctuary. So, anyway, I really like the callbacks to like past seasons and past. I also, one thing I didn't write down, but now I'm thinking about it. I really like the thing where John was talking about, you know, kind of being a partner with Morgan, and he said something like, you know, don't let Jude see the tape or something.
That's right.
I thought that was funny. And them talking about, you know, how they're essentially married at this point, or, you know, they're de facto married. I kind of like that. And them talking about that, that was cool. And I liked, you know, maybe a little sappy, but I did like Daniel talking about like how he's trying to move on. And it's also worth saying, this is kind of I don't know if it's available for everybody or not, or if you just need to be on AMC Premiere, but there's a bonus scene where they talk about, I think it was the scene right around where he steps on the mine. There's a point where they start describing why he wanted to help her so much and what it meant for him. And the actual scene that was in the episode was quite a bit shorter. So there was like an extra maybe minute and a half, 2 minutes, I would say, where it had several little scenes there, mini scenes of them talking about like how much it meant to them and why it meant to them and what it did. That, I wish they had kept that in the episode because it was really good. And you guys, if you haven't seen that, you should go check out the bonus scene on AMC.com. Again, I don't know if it's available to you if you don't have AMC Premiere or not, but if you do have AMC Premiere, definitely check it out. That's it, I think. There's one other thing I'm going to say, but I'm going to move this to the what sauce. So let's move on to weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma says, this storytelling device, I hope we don't get more of this jumpy edits. Found footage episodes.
Mm-hmm. And Glynis from Toronto, her weak sauce is Alicia now not wanting to kill. Thanks, Morgan. Smiley face. It just puts her life in even more danger when she was hesitating to kill that walker, although she was decided to go and draw out her knife. And she also says, Alicia, get your weapon back from Strand. That was strange seeing him use her weapon of choice. I saw that too, and I was like, whoa, wait.
Yeah, I was a little surprised about that. It's worth saying Steve in his weak sauce, he elaborates more about that in his voicemail. So we'll hear that in a little bit. Dieta from Detroit, she says, Alicia not killing anymore? why the hell not? And I talk about that. Actually, I had that in my notes later on, but I might as well say it now. I wonder if she is like trying to convince herself that that's what she should be doing. Like, it didn't seem to me like that was something she was comfortable with. Like, she was basically telling herself that that's what she needs to do. But I feel like it's just her trying to convince herself of it, you know? Mm. She still wants to go out there and kill. And I think by the end of the episode, by the end of the season, she's going to be there. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she did need a break from it. But I think much like, you know, other characters that we've seen, I think she has to get back to it. But maybe she needs to get back to it in a different mindset or something.
Yeah, well, you see her when she's practicing with Morgan with the bow staff, and then later on you see her kind of trying to do the moves by herself, and she's not really getting it, and she turns to the camera seeing that she's being recorded, and you know, she looks frustrated, but she also just looks almost like, not necessarily uncomfortable, but just like it's not really like she's really feeling it. Yeah. So I mean, she might be just trying to do something different because she's always been kind of the point person to now, you know, I don't think that that's, you know, something that she's just not going to ever do again.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. They mentioned it on Talking Dead, but apparently she was really good with the bow staff. So she had to kind of like make herself look awkward. I thought that was kind of funny, but yeah, I mean, I would expect her to be good at it because she's, you know, really good with the stunts and all that stuff. She's shown herself to be a very good, actor physically, you know, doing the physical like stunts and that. So I thought that was funny. All right.
We continue on. Yeah, and Diana from Illinois says, ugh, they really cheaped out on not showing us the oil fields. I agree with that. Also, no more Gene Factory? What's up with that?
Yeah, I wonder about that too.
Yeah. No, I agree with Diana, like, with your weak sauce too, because it's like, we find out from Sarah, it's like, so they found Tank Town. You know, and so, like, you know, Clayton's people, I guess, are like nice people because they obviously have some relationship where they can now go get gas whenever they need it. But it's like, I wish we could have seen that meeting. And instead, you know, we get the whole, yada, yada, yada. Oh, yeah, we have gas and like everything is hunky dory and we're saving people. So that was kind of, I think, a weak sauce because that would have been something I really would have liked to seen.
And hopefully this is something that we will see next episode or episode after, because in thinking about it, you know, and I even have that in my weak sauce. I called it the yada, yada, yada Tank Town. Cause that's what they did. But now I think about it, essentially, you know, one thing that you have to realize when you watch this episode is that this episode wasn't for us. It wasn't for the viewer. It was for the person watching the videotape, like Wes, right? So that's why they didn't show it. But still, I hope that they're not going to wait a long time.
Like skip out,
To get to it. But in thinking about it, that's why they didn't show it. Because they wouldn't show it to someone who was watching the videotape.
Yeah, no, then that makes complete sense. But you know, it's like, I guess at least where I put that comment in, and then Deanna also says, you know, it's because I didn't realize that that's what we were doing. And so it's, yeah, it just, that makes a lot more sense now. And it's like, oh yeah, we were watching it from that you know, a different perspective, not actually our characters.
And that's why it worked for me, because like Steve says in his weak sauce, that he said, I don't ever want to see this again. And I loved it, but I don't want to see it again either. Because if they turn the show into this, it would get very tedious very quickly. But I think on a one shot at something that's, you know, we've never seen in either show to do an episode like this. And it also makes perfect sense that they would do an episode like this, because this has been building up for a season and a half, you know. With Al, you know, taking these videos, it makes perfect sense that there would be something like this, especially now that they're trying to, you know, recruit people or whatever.
Yeah, they were able to purpose it to their own infomercial.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. If you can act right now. Anyway, let's move on. Mark, you have some a weak sauce here.
Yeah, it's pretty weak in the sense that even though they pointed out on Talking Dead, Danai Garcia stated that the same thing that I felt. It was pretty weak that Luciana was filming the whole Morgan situation and not getting involved with the landmines. It didn't make sense to film something when it's better to be involved and help someone in need. It was Althea just forcing the issue. We have to record everything. And then, you know, it was Morgan saying, yes, you know, do what she says. She even stated that it didn't make sense, but the producer stated it was the way it was written and it would be all right. Still doesn't make sense to me and is extremely weak, in my opinion. Yeah. I would love to have seen somebody like Althea take up the camera because that's her passion, and Luciana getting involved, but they didn't even do that.
I can see that those points. I had similar thoughts, actually, with it, but I have to, I agree with you. I have a weak sauce, and it's kind of a petty thing, but packets of ketchup, I'm sorry, they do not have an unlimited shelf life. I don't know if you've ever seen, but if you have old packets of like ketchup, they will start to expand, and they go bad. Mm-hmm. I would say not all packets are like that. Like, I've seen other things, like say hot sauce, where it seems like they have a much longer shelf life, but ketchup especially, I've seen those things go bad in a few months.
Yeah. Not like, oh, they've been like 2-3 years and they found something like this. I've seen them where it's like they're not even like the same consistency.
No. Yeah, no. Like, but like I don't know how many times I've like picked up let's say we were out of ketchup and we had some in our drawer, ketchup packets, and I went to go, you know, pick them up, and they were all bloated. And that's because they're not sterile. Like, something is brewing in there and is not good. So, ketchup packets. Yeah, weak sauce.
Well, I guess I was like thinking more, because I didn't really put any weak sauce in, because it kind of was following more of like not talking about Tank Town. But also, I think just the whole, like how walkers can still just sneak up on them. And like they don't know, like Alicia took down that one walker, like Tessa's husband or whatever, but she's like, it just appeared out of nowhere, and I'm like, is no one like looking around at all? It's just weak how it's like these walkers are just always just almost on you, right? You know, like in an open field. Because I think at the camp, I don't know who it was, but someone screams out, oh, growlers or walkers.
Yeah.
And they turn the camera over, and the walkers already like getting through the fence. And so they go take care of them. But then you notice that their camp is like in this big open field or like road. Yeah. So it's like, is no one on lookout? Like, is no one paying attention?
No, the kids.
Right, apparently. But it's like, did you not see that walker from way down the distance coming towards you? It's weak just how walkers do them. It just they pop out of the ground or they just appear behind you in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because those whoever said it, those were, you know, from the same
the kids
that that Alicia rescues, because they call them growlers.
Right. And that's, yeah, that's what
and said. Yet the kids that we spend the most time with, the was it Max, Max, Annie, and Coop? This is not Cooper. That's this the actual Dylan. Dylan. Anyway, those three we didn't see this episode. So I don't know if they were just in the background.
I thought they were at the oil tank or at field the, with Wendell.
That's my thought as well, but I guess we'll find out. But it was kind of noticeable that they weren't around. All right, let's move on to what sauce.
What?
We didn't get any listener what sauce, so it's just up to our what sauce. We all have what sauce, so let's start with Mark.
Well, what is with the sudden change in Alicia? She was all badass and wanted to kill things. Now she is being reserved. Now Strand is using her weapon of choice with a uniform, and I guess his name is Mitch. So now Strand is Mitch, and Alicia is Morgan's apprentice, or Padawan? The sudden change in character from the mid-season finale to the mid-season premiere is not good for the character, in my opinion, for Alicia. Unless they expect to get rid of the character, which I really don't want to see.
That's not true! That's impossible!
Yeah, that's part of my what sauce. It was just like, it just feels like, you know, Alicia is like this changed woman, and it's not this Alicia that we've come to know and love. And I kind of put it in there, it's like Morgan broke her.
that's one way to put it.
But
yeah, and I already like talked a little bit about this, but yeah, I had a similar kind of thing. Like I just don't believe that it's what is going to end up, you know, being her thing. I just see that it's not going to take.
Well, in thinking of in terms that we're watching this episode as the what they recorded to let other people view it, then you can actually kind of see that she doesn't necessarily believe the words that are coming out of her mouth then. Because I always did feel like she kind of seemed a little hesitant, or, you know, or something with the way she was talking. And now thinking about it, it's like, yeah, that's what she was feeling like she's supposed to say.
Yeah.
You know, in a way.
I would agree with
and
that.
Yeah. And I also put my watt sauce. It was just like, it seems everybody has this ability to charge batteries for their walkies. Oh. Because everyone, they're finding them by calling them out on walkies. And so it's like, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, I guess it's Texas, you know, so it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of remote places and farmers, or, you know, people that are just, you know, grow up country, and, you know, maybe they have more, you know, more supplies than like city folk would, but it just, it's interesting. It's the walkie talkie seems to be like this total tool that everybody has access to. And then, and batteries galore.
No, maybe they found each other on Farmers Only.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
Well, that was it.
Oh, God. You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com. Oh, God. I used to hear that commercial. It seemed like three times a day, at least. Anyway, I just had in my what sauce, I said, this is an episode where you didn't need to think about it too much. Like if you started like really analyzing this episode as to what was going on, I think it would all fall apart. Because like, yes, she mentions going to the big spot and getting like all the videos and videotapes and batteries and for that matter, camcorders as she could find, but it's like they really have enough videotape for all of this, like, and batteries, like, you got to think about this for a second. Like there's like four or five of them recording, and they're, you know, those videotapes, they don't last very long. They're not very long. And this is still, you know, in the era where you were recording to tape, not digitally. Mm-hmm. Like, so it just seems to me, it's like, are they really like shooting like practically every second? Because we see them like shooting stuff in the car, you know, as they're driving, several of them doing this, in fact. So it's just like, really? Are you really gonna be like videotaping, pushing what's his name, Logan, out the truck? Like,
yeah.
So you know, it doesn't really stand to its believability the more you start looking into it. But like, I loved it for what it was. I mean, let's face it, this is a zombie TV show, so it's not gonna be, I'm not watching it for its realism. Yeah. But nevertheless, it's like, yeah, there's no way that this could really happen. I mean, if the Z-pocalypse, say, happened now in 2019 and everybody was like using their phones, you know, maybe that would work. Because it would be easier. Although at the same time, though, the phones would die out. So that's,
or the batteries. Yeah, yeah.
That wouldn't even work. But yeah, anyway, it's just, it's like, yeah, right. But you know,
yeah. No, for my first, when I've watched it live, and I think because of the break, I kind of had a little bit more of just like, I don't know. I kind of was like, not in the best like mindset when I was watching it. I was already thinking that it's like, oh, this is probably not going to be great. But then watching it the second and third time, it's like, it's if you put that stuff out of your mind, then it really was a good episode and it was a lot of fun. And
yeah,
you know, it's just like, and obviously they're trying to find all the, oh, this needs to be like perfect little realism or whatever, that's never going to happen. So it's like, when you can just get rid of that, then the show's actually, you know, coming along.
Yeah. So, and that's my take as well. Like, if you just kind of like just detach yourself from, you know, and just not be overly critical, just try to enjoy it, you know, it's good. I really enjoyed this one. But again, like if I let myself like start to overanalyze it, I know it would just fall apart. And at the moment I started thinking about the, you know, is this really what would happen? No, it wouldn't, because there's no way they'd be catching all this stuff, you know. So anyway, all right, let's move on to sad or aw sauce.
Aww.
We got a few aw sauces. Mark, why don't you start with the first?
Aaron from the internet says, aw sauce, the campfire stuff. I do have to agree with that, with, you know, everybody coming together and being happy and, you know, and John showing his empty bowl. The sad sauce, she says, the episode ended. Again, this was like a glimpse back at the old series, and thus I feel it was such a treat and breath of fresh air. I was sad to see it end. I hope this isn't the last we see of this, of episodes like this.
Yep, hopefully not. All right, our next listener is Deanna from Illinois, and she says, I really liked Grace talking about how she wakes up every day, not knowing if she'll get sick or not, and how she's just trying to have more purpose with the time she's, you know, has left. And then cry face, cry face, cry face.
Yeah, and that made me think she's a goner.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think that she's not going to make it through the whole season.
Aww.
She keeps checking her lymph nodes.
She keeps checking her lymph nodes, yeah.
Yeah, well, and we already know that she was working at the power or the nuclear plant, and like something happened there, and that she was trying to, you know, take care of all the radiator walkers. So, you know, I'm sure she's gotten a lot of exposure and she knows it. But, you know, it's like for Alicia, it was like, oh, you don't even really know like how really exposed you got just from the blood. So,
well, and she did have the shower, which is, you know, the typical like decontaminant thing. So, you know, certainly Grace got exposed to way more radiation than Alicia did.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh, and she knows it. So it's sad.
Yeah. Glynis from Toronto, she had one. She says, Morgan's grief about his wife and son brought back to the surface again, and Tess and son losing their husband and father when he got the inhaler and it was on his way back to them. Yeah, it was kind of sad. I mean, a little bit sheltered, you could say, those two. But I did like the fact that she came out like that. I thought that was good. So it was sad, but at the same time, I liked that she was able to move on. And like I said, that bonus scene, it goes more into the moving on part. So worth watching if you can. Mark, you had your own sad sauce.
Yeah, it was sad not to see the kids or Wendell this episode. They alluded to them when Sarah mentioned he was watching the kids at the tanker area that was really kept secret. And that's why they couldn't film it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My sad sauce, it kind of is now changing now that I'm thinking about it, because seeing that, you know, this episode was more of just like their recording a tape to infomercials, so to speak. But I still don't know like what their whole like MO is, you know. It's like, cause my sad sauce was just like Tess and her kid, because it's like they don't have her, you know, she doesn't have her husband anymore, but like, how is she going to survive in this world? Like, how much food and supplies do they have? And, you know, are Morgan and them just like, is she joining the group, or is she still staying in her, you know, minefield house? Like, I guess, you know, we'll maybe find out more, but it's like, is our group trying to build like a community, or are they just helping people survive and then trying to get everybody to like help everyone that just needs it? So,
well, to that, I'll say, I think that she did join them, because I think she was, like when she was interviewed there, I think it wasn't being interviewed at home. I think she was with them.
No, she was at the camp, you know, having the meal. But it was not very clear then that that's...
I think that they're striving to make a new community. Like June mentions that that's one of her biggest goals. So I see them kind of doing that, but it seems like their goal is just to find people to help and to just help. It's, you know, it's as simple as that. It's as, you know, some would say it's as dumb as that, but I think that there is some good to come of that. Like, I think that, you know, you always see in tragedy, like people often
pulling together.
Yeah, pull together, and you know, and then there's always this wave of just the dregs of the world trying to, you know, prey on the innocent and the needy. But you always get, at least at first, you get like a wave of just people just helping, because, you know, I think it's just natural to try to want to help people that need it. And
yeah, well, no, if you think about it, well, if you think about it though, too, it's like, well, then how did Alexandria start? How did the Hilltop start? How did, you know, the Sanctuary start? You know, it's like those places didn't exist unless people came together and then, you know, did that. So it's kind of like, maybe this is kind of the early, you know, beginnings of a community. You know, once June finds them a place, or they all, you know, find a place, then all those people that they helped will definitely probably, you know, then join them. And so, I mean, that kind of makes a little more sense too. It's just, you know, just help people and then you make allies and friends, and then when Logan and his little group come around, you'll have an army.
Yeah, they just need to find a prison.
Yep.
or a stadium.
Or a baseball park. Yeah.
Maybe find a football stadium. Or a hockey rink or something. Anyway. No, I don't think that would work. Not in Texas.
No.
All right. Well, I don't have any sad or awesome. So let's move on to our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
We've got a voicemail from Steve.
Hello, Fear the Walking Dead talk through. This is Steve. And first off, congratulations on your new talk through media podcast network. I'm very thrilled that you guys have got that off the ground and are at least getting it started. So really proud of that. Proud to be able to give you some feedback here. I'm glad they didn't drag out the Logan as a good guy storyline. Although it does raise the question about the woman who she seemed to be the one in charge and not him, and now he's back in charge. That was a little bit confusing. I love the way they used Dwight in this episode. I love just the lines we got from him and the understanding of that he's realizing that he's finding a way to atone, makes a redemption for himself, and that he's going to keep searching for Shelly, even though she doesn't want him to keep looking for her. And just to expand a little bit on my weak sauce about the fact that I don't like this storytelling method, one of the reasons, and I don't know, you may have already mentioned this, but the fact of the matter is there was no tension around Morgan and the landmine. We knew he was going to get out of it because she was interviewing him, obviously, after the events had taken place. So we knew everything was going to be fine. We knew that he was going to be safe. And so just that whole, I hope they don't do this again ever in the show, because it just was not a good way, for at least in my opinion, of telling the story to us, you know. And though at the end that was a little disconcerting, seeing Logan and his people and then just indiscriminately shooting this guy's bike and leaving him kind of stranded. And he looked a little bit like Heath, but it wasn't Heath. So interesting there. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your voicemail. We appreciate it. That is something I wanted to bring up in my weak sauce, too. And I forgot to put it in, but I'm glad you mentioned it, Steve. It pisses me off to see them waste bullets like that.
Yeah. They seem to have a lot of it, so.
Yeah, but it reminds me of those dummies in season 2 that try to take over the Colonia. And, you know, they're just mindlessly shooting their guns off and, you know, they clearly, you know, blow off so much ammunition that they eventually get, you know, they run out and they can't handle all the walkers that are coming towards them. Or, sorry, the infected.
Well, they don't have Eugene to help them make new bullets and reload, so.
No, they just seem to always have enough and not worry that it's, you know, going to run out.
Yeah, I just thought to myself that that's just so unrealistic. I mean, what I mean by that is that it's really wasteful. I mean, they didn't have to do that. Why did they go to that level of, you know, they probably fired 200 bullets at that motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they took out the tire, so that's kind of enough for that to
well, at least short term it would be.
Yeah.
You know, Mark?
Well, LT from NC says, as the rest, I can tell that we are deeply in the Gimple zone now. While it was cool to see the interview bits, it's kind of got really slow navel-gazy. Plus, with all this introspection, it made me nervous, since the past experience with The Walking Dead is always intense character development episodes lead to quote unquote bad things. The flinch reflex was in high gear for me because it kept feeling like everyone was trying to be the moral compass. And we all knew how that works out. You know, I'm glad everyone is turning over new leaves, but the first look was seeing Logan in the rearview mirror of the MRAP. And he continues on saying, we all kept wondering when he'd be back. So when he rolls in with the compact car crew and they shot up the sidecar guy's bike, I saw what we'd be doing the rest of the season. Maybe it's just me, but I have a little of a hard time being scared of bad guys in what looked like a Honda Fit or a Prius. So about the minefield house, I had the feeling that Mr. Missing Husband would turn up as a walker, and while it was a touch convenient, it did work pretty well. Cynical me might have let the walkers clear out a bit more of a path, since John can pretty well hit anything he wants. Having spent portion of my youth learning how to clear minefields, I figured someone would find one just like Morgan did. I liked that section about the best of the whole episode. The nearly unrelated sidebar was I watched this episode on my phone at lunch since I managed to be tied up during the regular airing. I may try to rewatch it again before the podcast drops on the big screen, but it was pretty good to be able to see it on the go.
Yeah, I watch them that way a lot of the times, and I think I saw it twice on my phone. So yeah, it's I like it. Although I have to say that yesterday I was definitely having problems with AMC Premiere. I was trying to watch it on my lunch break and it would not connect at all. So I was not impressed, but it fixed itself later on in the evening. But it just, and it was fine today, but for some reason yesterday, it just wouldn't work on my phone at all.
All right. Well, next is Glynis from Toronto. And she says, I presume they'll show why they tricked Logan out of his gas share and what he actually did to deserve that, which Sarah just mentioned in passing. Looks as if Logan and company have got a plentiful supply of bullets. Did Eugene vacation in Texas sometime or that other? Illustrated by shooting up that lovely sidecar in a hail of bullets. So the group is going to regret not giving gas to Logan as he's now the big bad of Fear the Walking Dead. That's what I'm assuming too. She goes on, it'll be intriguing to see if the newcomers, Wes, is going to contact the group or not. Maybe the sidecar will get fixed up since they already managed to fix a plane. I personally enjoyed the way this episode was paced, with realizing at the end that Wes had been watching the video the whole time at one of the truck supply stops and liked how they rounded up and told each person's tasks and also how they were faring and feeling. But knew then the ratings were going to suffer as others love to hate Fear the Walking Dead. And then last, so Alicia is going to search for whoever is leaving the message on the trees. I personally hope it's Madison. Come on, showrunners, bring her back pronto. And she's going to need to kill at least walkers with her newly acquired bow skills if she's going to go roaming around her by herself, unless Strand accompanies her as her bodyguard with her cool barrel shroud weapon from that machine gun. I guess there's the other big question too is, you know, you've got Logan, obviously the, you know, the baddie, or at least his, the people that he's with are the baddies.
He's
definitely not willingly doing this, but, you know, it's like, so then when we have our group trying to help everybody and they got rid of Logan, but they're eventually going to have, you know, Logan's going to catch up to them at some point. But then it is also, it's like, okay, this tree, that's like, who, you know, is this just supposed to be like a symbol of hope, or is there actually some story or lead to that, you know, it's like, who is this person that put that there? You know, it's like, or do they even exist, or is it Sherry, or is it, you know, what? But they keep adding that little element to, so it's, you know, this is going to be Alicia's, you know, her journey. And they're definitely not going to bring Madison back as much as I think everybody would love that. It's that's.
Yeah, I don't.
It's their Joshua
tree. I don't see it happening at all. Like, and people would love to see her come back. But I mean, I think about it for a second. Alicia's interested in these trees. If that was Madison that was writing on those trees, wouldn't you think that she would see Madison's handwriting?
Or her, you know. Her saying was always like, not dead yet or not done or
right.
Would have been something I would think that would be a Madison thing to say as well as, you know, the rest of it. But yeah. And plus they've already gone through the whole rigmarole of like, you know, she's gone, she's dead. You know, Madison even said, Kim Dickens already said that's like, no, I'm dead. And for them to just all of a sudden pull a Gimple dumpster, you know, and bring her back.
Oh, jeez. You know? I mean, I would love it, but just looking at it from like an industry perspective, I know that she signed on to a show. And with that in mind, I don't think that we're going to see her come back. Like, what would that look
right,
like?
Right, right. Well, you know? That's my thought is like, if she was coming back, then she would be coming back probably as a vision of Alicia right before she dies.
Maybe.
Or a last minute, hey, we're going to throw her in. And by the way, oh, we're going to really show you how she died. You know, like show it on screen.
Yeah.
Like okay, here you go.
Like,
but if they were doing that, why would they have waited?
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that now? You know, it just seems it's possible, but I would say difficult at this point for me to believe that, both from a story perspective, but also like a reality perspective. I just don't see them being able to bring her back. I would love it, but I don't see it. And for that matter, it's like, if you were Kim Dickens, would you want to come back?
Right, right.
At this point?
So. That's true.
Yeah, the story just, what they're seeming to be like leading towards or whatever, it does not have her in that picture. This is life is moving on, you know? It's like, hopefully Alicia is going to be a part of it. You know, it's just, yeah, it's... No, Madison.
Yeah, I just don't see it. Aaron from the internet is next. She says, a random edition of love, Bomb Tech Al. You can definitely tell she was her station's war correspondent. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she mentioned something about being, what do they call that, an insert or something? Like, obviously, she was... with the troops on some kind of, you know, probably Iraq or something like that.
Yeah.
She continues. She says, this episode was so good. It actually did the impossible for all intents and purposes. It made me feel for Morgan some. Now, this isn't to say I like the character suddenly or that I'm happy he's here suddenly, but this is the most I've ever enjoyed seeing him on this series. It was still slightly a bit too much of him for me on the whole, but that's a nitpick this week compared to what things have been. The moment I enjoyed most with him was his interview portion near the end, where he tells Al he knows he needs to say goodbye to his family. He just doesn't know how. I felt for him there. Again, I'm not going to say one episode changes everything, but if they kept up this level of group mingling and interaction, then I think I could tolerate Morgan more. I always hate him being the leader and think they need other characters to speak up at times just to mix it up. But again, dividing up screen time like we see in this episode and showing shots of Strand and Alicia together, or Strand and June, or June and Grace, makes things feel more real and remind me of the old show I liked. So I hope to see that as the writing approach going forward. I'm not going to hold my breath, as I know how they like Morgan as the leader, but I would really love it if we got more episodes like this one, and again, in this filter. Well, it depends on what you mean by episodes like this. Like I was saying before, and other people have said, Steve said, I wouldn't want to see them like shift the show into this, but I wouldn't mind like seeing little clips of this, but not a whole show of it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think more just like the, you know, not just like, you know, a two character, you know, episode, like a bottle episode. It's just like where we see everybody at some point in some time, you know, and like, I think that's, yeah, this way they, this episode obviously was because you were watching what they had recorded, you know, so it's, that's kind of how, that's why it is the way it is.
Yeah. And to my point in my what sauce about this, like, if you go back and start thinking about like, well, how did they edit this footage?
That's true.
How did they have a video duplicator, you know, machine? I know those exist. So, you know, they get some kind of like tape duplication to be able to do this. I don't know, but it's just, there's so many questions that you could ask if you let yourself. And if you did want to ask those questions, I guarantee it would drop your score dramatically. But if you just kind of put all that stuff aside and remember, well, this is a zombie TV show, reality or realism isn't, you know, its strong suit. I think you could appreciate it more. But anyway, let's move on. So, Mark, you've got another one?
Yeah, Diana from Illinois says, where the hell was Wendell? I agree. Where was he? But he was with the tanker with the kids and the tank zone. And she says, emphatically, again, Madison did not paint the tree. Stop saying that, people.
Yep, indeed. I thought the same thing because, as I said before, if it were Madison, Alicia would recognize her mom's handwriting.
Yep.
So.
And she continues on saying, I really like the addition of the VHS effects, tracking, and so on, to the title card, which I agree with, too. It was pretty cool how it kind of got blurry in the very beginning.
That's one of my parts of the show that I, like, since they started in season four, is, like, the title card and how it has the different elements of whatever's going to be happening, you know, in the episode. And yeah, obviously they did this when we first, what was it? Episode two or episode, was it two or three, that basically we saw the glitching and all that stuff. And that was the episode with, it was in season four, but
right.
You know, it was with Al and just, anyways, it was just like, it's fun. I like what they're doing with that.
Yeah, in fact, I would say that that's one of their most clever things in the show right now is how they're doing the title cards every week. And it's, I agree with you that it's been really interesting to see. It's certainly a dramatic improvement from that stupid... yeah. Because that was this... I mean, and it was so bad that they basically stopped doing it after a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, one thing I didn't chime in on is the part that, you know, because I did already about Madison not painting those trees, but it could be Sherry. Oh, Sherry. Oh, oh, oh,
to play that.
You had to.
Yeah, I had to. I have no choice. You know, it's like, you know, when the discussion was, you know, talking about Jesus, because, you know, Jesus. Jesus is a cool dude. Okay. It's the wrong show for one thing, but I still tend to believe that it's going to end up being Sherry doing that, but it also suffers from the same argument that I just made about it not being Madison. Because if Dwight sees this, he should recognize it as her handwriting. Now, okay, it is worth saying that writing on a tree, you're probably, and in big letters, you're probably not going to have the same looking handwriting that you would if you're writing on a piece of paper. Okay, I grant that. But it's still going to look similar, because it always does. Like, even if you write on a blackboard versus writing on your notepad, it's not going to look exactly the same, but you're going to see similarities there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was like
you can tell someone's writing on paper versus writing on the blackboard that it's the same person. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like, you know, 10 times bigger, you can still tell. So anyway, so it falls apart with that, but I still would like to think that it's Sherry.
All right. Well, Diana still had one last point.
Yes. She says, I like the addition of the new guy, Wes.
Yeah, I did too.
Which everybody mistook for
Heath.
Oh, yeah.
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 Apparently, and I didn't catch the guy's name, but apparently that this is his first role.
Yes.
Yeah. So nice. Good on him.
Yeah. Cool deal. All right. Well, our next feedback comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, okay, episode looks like we had another time jump. Or did I miss an episode? So they left the Denim Factory in the dust. They are a caravan now driving across the country. Guess they found the oil fields. Oh, and now Luciana is a camera girl now. So now they have two cameras with non-dying batteries. Just wasn't impressed with this interview episode of Fear. Hopefully it gets better. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So I only had one thing for episode notes, but we've already said it. Mark and Kyle, do you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
No.
No.
Nope.
All right. So let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. First is for ratings, and Fear the Walking Dead got a 0.38 in the 18 to 49 demographic with 1.402 million viewers. Now, that is down from 0.48 in the 18 to 49 with 1.599 viewers. Now, that is obviously lower than the mid-season finale, but that's not the lowest that we had this season so far. So now Talking Dead actually returned again. And of course, it was on our last episode, but it will not be coming back until the season finale. But it got one of the lowest ratings I've ever seen for the show, a 0.06 in the 18 to 49 with 249,000 viewers. Now, that compares to, for the mid-season finale, which was a 0.07 and 373,000 viewers. Now, of course, that's at a later time. I think it was at 11:08 or something like that. Now, should also mention, I did pick up the ratings for, they don't even call it Talking Dead, but it's essentially Talking Dead. They call it The Walking Dead Season 10 Preview. But it got a 0.22 in the 18 to 49 with 942,000 viewers. So it actually did ratings not that far off from Fear. It was a little, you know, it was maybe 60% or something like that of Fear's ratings, maybe a little bit. Well, depending on which one you look at. That's it for that. So there were some interesting, like I mentioned, the bonus scene on AMC Premiere worth mentioning. And again, I don't know if that's available if you don't have AMC Premiere, but go see. There was also an extended, or not an extended, what they call Talking Dead on AMC.com. And usually those are posted later on YouTube, so you might be able to find it there. But now there's some news that came up specifically over the break about the new season. Like there was a trailer released, and you know, it didn't really show you too much, but it kind of gave you some indication of the series. Like supposedly they were in some area that's safe and they're going out to where it's not safe or something like that.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah. And you know, we see a lot of youngsters in there, and which are kind of new, but we also see, I don't know the actress's name, but it's somebody I've seen, before. She reminds me of Genevieve Bujold, but I know that's not her because this actress is quite a bit older, Genevieve Bujold is quite a bit older, I mean, but reminds me of her. Anyway, but there was Kyle, you posted this on the Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Nico Tortorella. Now, is he a season regular or do you know?
No, I mean, he's not, or yeah, he's cast as, I believe, like another, a full character on the show. Mm-hmm. But like, that's the thing. I'm like, some of the stuff that he's been in, I haven't heard of him before.
Yeah, I don't know the guy either.
Yeah, but, and I don't think his character name or any of that's been, none of that's been released, obviously. Oh, maybe he's just another kid, a part of this group. Actually, no, his name, he'll star as Felix. And they say he's described as an honorable man of his word who isn't afraid to fight for other safety and acceptance. So yeah, whoever Felix is.
Yeah, supposedly the ones that they have, they have names for. Aaliyah Royale is playing Iris. Annette Mahendru plays Huck. And actually, I recognize that name. I know she was in The X-Files, one of the more recent seasons of The X-Files. Mm. And she was actually pretty good in that. So Alexa Mansour plays Hope. Nicholas Cantu plays Elton. Hal Cumston plays Silas, and Nico Tortorella plays Felix. So that's, I picked that up on denofgeek.com. Mm. So just to give them the plug. But beyond that, they haven't announced the name of the series yet. And I think sounds like it's going to come out in the spring.
Yeah, I think so. Because they're already filming now, so.
Yeah, and if that's the case, it's probably going to be a question of it will come out, you know, at the end of Walking Dead season 10, and so it'll you know, come out right after that, and then maybe Fear will come out, you know, after that.
So we'll have a 365 24/7 Walking Dead.
And, you know, I believe our plans are going to be to cover it.
Yeah, I think. I want to.
Yeah. It's only a 10, season or 10 episodes season. So it makes it a little easier to cover, I know. But anyway, I believe that's it. So why don't, Kyle, you tell people how to interact with us? And we should mention, listeners, that this is all a little bit in flux right now. So,
but the gist of it's there. Okay. Well, if you want to interact with us, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and that's at facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, which is walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. And we'll have a new one at some point, but we'll let you
know. It's worth saying that the Twitter handle and the Facebook group URL are going to change at some point. So we should give you warning to that. And you'll be able to find us if you just go to walkingdeadtalkthrough.com. We'll have the information there to be able to follow us. But if you already have been following us on Twitter and have us on Facebook, you'll still be able to find us the other ways. But the Walking Dead GSM at gmail.com, that email will continue. We'll probably be giving you a different email to use, but we'll still have that email.
Yeah, it's still under our control.
Yeah, it's still under our control. But the other two things we will be changing very soon. Yeah. So like we're kind of in a transition. We have something switched over, something's not. In the next couple of weeks, we'll have these things straightened out. But like I say, if you follow us on Walking Dead GSM, you'll get the new name when we change it.
Yep.
So,
all right. Well, now you can go to our new feedback form, and that is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback.
And that is working now.
Yay!
Now, this last part, the phone number, this is temporary.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because this is yours, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
This is my voicemail. So if you want to send in a voicemail to us, you can temporarily send it to 216-236-5449. That's my Google Voice phone number. And unfortunately, the way that it works is I can't kind of change it because it's hooked up to my real voicemail. So we need to set up another one. We'll be doing that very soon. But for now, you can call us at 216-236-5449. If you call us at the old number, 304-837-2278, we'll get it. We may not get it quickly, but we'll eventually get it. Daryl is going to be still sending those over to us. So
yeah, cool. All right. Well, the deadline for the next episode is set for a regular day and time. So that's 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, August 20th. And to support us, the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review.
Yes. And like I said, worth saying, we are going to also have a Patreon, and we'll also give you a PayPal ability to send us some stuff of your choice. We're also looking at a couple other methods, but we'll be setting that up. We had to pick our fights for the last 3 weeks, so our focus was to get content moved over and get the website set up. So that's been our focus. We had to put the Patreon on hold just for a few more weeks, but we'll have that set up very soon. And to that, I will say that we haven't had any more episodes of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. That is also switching over to Talk Through Media. That is still in process, though. Like, we're a lot farther along on the Walking Dead talk through than we are on Star Trek Discovery podcast. But if you go to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com, you'll find, you know, where we are. That's not going to change. Facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. Thankfully, we don't need to change that one. So that stays the same. And unlike this podcast, the Star Trek Discovery podcast has its own Patreon. So you can, we just got that started over the break. So you can contribute to the, Ruthie and me, that Patreon's run like separately. It contributes to the network, but it's separate from this podcast. We decided to do that. Just make it easier for us to figure out who is supporting who. So if you go to patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie, you can start with a donation as little as $1 a month. And then we have different levels. Like, we, Ruthie and I, are going to be starting a monthly like call-in show, and as we hit new levels, we are going to start doing some custom episodes and some various things. So that, we haven't reached the level where we're going to start the call-in show, but we are pretty close to it. So I have a feeling that within the next month we'll be starting that soon. But exciting times are ahead for the Talk Through Media Network. And we've already gotten a few supporters on that for that podcast through Patreon. And thank some of you. Well, since we don't have an episode coming out yet, thank to LT from NC. He's one of our supporters. James the Augmented Sailor. Both of you guys listen to us here, so give you a shout out. The other two people don't, so they won't. But also worth mentioning that we are going to be releasing a Star Trek Picard podcast. I believe we're going to be calling it Picard Cast. And that, we have not released an episode. Well, we haven't even recorded one yet. But we should be having something going on with that very soon. So hopefully before the end of this season, we'll have the first of Fear. I mean, we'll have our first episode of the Picard Cast out. So just want to give you guys a warning of that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait to cover Picard. Mark, what you got going on with Panels to Pixels? Sounds like you've been busy.
Well, we started off, we ended Jessica Jones, and now we started off with Preacher. So Steve and I just decided to jump in. We were a little bit late to the game, so we decided to do our seasons 1 to 3 review, which led right into episodes 1 and 2 of season 4. So that's out now, and a lot of people are actually liking it and loving the idea. So we're looking to take on a few other people just to jump in and have some good time talking about Preacher and all the funny stuff that goes on with it and the strangeness of it.
Yeah, it's a great show, and hopefully I'll be able to join, do a guest spot on your podcast in the next few weeks once I get caught up. But yeah. I'm gonna try to get it caught up this weekend. So hopefully I'll be able to do that. All right. So our next episode is season 5, episode 10, which is titled 210 Words Per Minute. That is a fast typist, let me tell you.
Oh yeah.
Written by Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, at least according to Wikipedia. It didn't have who's directed by. But it did have a description. At least I found a description. It wasn't there, but I found it linked on Wikipedia. And that is Morgan and Grace search a shopping mall to fulfill a dying man's wish. Dwight is tested.
What?
It's a trap!
Gotta mix it up a little bit. All right, until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.